Good morning. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's pray. Lord, teach us today how to pray and what to pray for. You understand all the situations that we go in this life as the church and as individual members of your body. Lord, we don't exactly know how to pray, and that is why we come before you to pray that, Lord, you teach us on how and what to pray, to remind us of what we have forgotten, to remind us of what we need so that we can be able to win in spiritual battles. Lord, help us to understand your word. And I pray, Lord, that you lead me to speak your word. Give me the words to speak, and help me to speak those words, so that, Lord, I can be able to communicate what you need the church to know today. Lord, cleanse me, wash me, and prepare me for this particular time so that I can speak your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I don't know why this lot of preaching Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20 fell on me, because I have been learning to pray, but I have never graduated. Sometimes I always think, what if we have seminaries that offers training, teaching, maybe masters, maybe PhD on how to pray? Because I have never heard of any person who has ever graduated with a degree on how to pray. I remember in the Bible when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus told them how to pray. Pray in these words: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then he continued, and I remember the ones in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36. After Jesus had talked about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times, he warned his disciples to be careful, to watch and to pray. He spoke to them in these words: be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Also, in Matthew 26, verse 40 to 41, he spoke to them and said, the word of God says, then Jesus returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. That was when Jesus was praying at Gethsemane. Were you not able, he asked them, were you not able to watch with me for 1 hour? And then verse 1 says, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Today I want to speak about how and what to fight for to win spiritual battles. I know, and I would like to confess that prayer is one of the most difficult topics for me to preach about, because it is a difficult subject for me to understand and to practice as the scriptures strictly requires. Frankly speaking, I'm convinced that the one and only reason God has enabled me to persevere as a Christian is by grace that has come to me through sometime prayers of people and through my own sometime continuous desperate cries to God for help, which I believe is also a form of prayer. I cannot be able to count how many times that spiritual battles becomes intense to a point that I feel like I want to give up. It is exceedingly difficult to endure without a prayer. In response to call of God, of which I know and I understand is prayer, through prayer we access the means by which we can attain union with God when we are praying. Prayer is a powerful weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and the means by which God bestows his countless blessings on us. And best of all, it is a gift from God given freely to all who may seek God. Scripture calls us to pray for many things: for saints, for men and women, for kings and all rulers, for all who are in the adversity, for the sending forth of the laborers, for those who labor in the gospel, for all converts, for believers who have fallen into sin for one another in our immediate circles. When we look back to chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, Paul first identifies the enemies of every Christian believer, the devil, and all his cosmic forces. Name them as rulers, authorities, world powers of his darkness, the evil spirit beings, spiritual beings in the heavenly places. Then he exhorts us how to take up the complete armor of God and dress properly to get ready for battles. Then he continues after dressing and getting armed for battle. He says, or he exhorts us on how to fight and what to fight for. And from the verses that I have read in chapter 6, verse 18 to 20, we can learn how and what to fight to win spiritual battles. Paul starts with the opening of the ones by praying. That is verse 18a. We can clearly understand this call for prayer by connecting back to where Paul says, by praying, to where Paul says, stand therefore. That is verse 14a. Stand therefore. So when we connect with stand therefore, we can see that Paul is now calling his readers on how and what to pray. Stand therefore by praying. Stand therefore by praying. To stand is to be ready. To stand is a command to stand by praying. So Paul is calling the church to stand by praying after clothing themselves with everything that he has said from verses 14 to 17. He tells them now, stand by praying. So here, to stand and by praying expresses defensive and offensive movement into which we as believers, we are going to defend ourselves from the attacks of the devil, and also how to engage in offensive form of battle into the territory of the enemy. And this is now by prayer. We may be able to clothe ourselves with everything that is needed, but the actual combat, the battle that we pray, we do as believers, the battle that we engage in is by praying. There is difference between military training. I've never been in the military, but I know there is difference between training and the actual combat of a military man. So here, Paul is talking, he talked before about the training that we as believers, we need to get. We need to be dressed for the battle. And now he is calling us into spiritual warfare, which can only be won by prayer. And now he is teaching us how to pray and what to pray for. Prayer, therefore, is the foundation of deployment of the six weapons that he talks about from verse 14 to 17. Andrew T. Lincoln, in his commentary on Ephesians, says, prayer for strengthening from God can be seen as a major way in which believers appropriate the divine armor and are enabled to stand, that is to take defensive position, and to offensive movement into the territory of the enemy. Prayer is labor. Prayer is work. Prayer is engagement. And this is what Paul here is speaking about. And he talks about how to pray. First, by praying in the Spirit. That is verses 18b. This phrase can be understood well if translated by Spirit. This is the means of seeking spiritual guidance. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, in companion, and the Holy Spirit is companion of the believers that stands side by side and awakens us to pray. The Holy Spirit directs us how to pray and what to pray for. Spiritual battles can only be won with the aid of the Holy Spirit, who is ever present. He is our divine comrade. Even at times when we do not know what we should pray for and how to pray, Paul in Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here Paul is talking about some situations that we may find ourselves, and sometimes we may even lack the ones that we should bring before God. Sometimes it's when the battle is very intensive that what is left in us is to cry. What is left in us is to cry in anguish when we are in the midst of very intense battle. Also, Paul says that we can pray at all times. That is, by praying at all times. That's another way that we can be able to pray. How to pray at all times. This does not mean every minute, every second, every hour or a whole day, 24 hours or 12 hours daylight and 12 hours overnight, without ceasing, continuous praying, without, relaxing, without resting. Here, this means every opportunity. At all times is every opportunity, every circumstance that make it possible for believers to pray. And we find this in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16, where Paul reminds believers to make the most of time because the days are evil. To make the most of time, every opportunity. At all times, you'll be able to identify your enemy. You know, sometimes we don't need to search so that we can be able to see the enemy. Like in the times when we are faced by sickness, sometimes it's about family issues, attacks, whereby the family is attacked, maybe through marital problems. Sometimes it's about the children, when they become difficult to handle. These are the opportunities like which Paul is talking about. There are always opportunities. There are always circumstances that we are able to identify and to know that we need to engage ourselves in prayer. Paul uses all times, also elsewhere. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where he says, praying without ceasing. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, always. And also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Those are instances where Paul is talking about always, about praying without ceasing, about identifying opportunities when we can pray and knowing what we can pray for, because those are situations that may come in our families, in the community, in our church, everywhere. Believers need to be in constant state of prayer. This is actually what Paul is driving at. Is to be be conscious that we can be able to pray. To be conscious that we can be able to identify the things that we should pray for. We need not to wait until we are under enemy attack. You know, sometimes we think we are strong. Sometimes we think we have won. Sometimes we think we are undefeatable. Sometimes we remain calm and there is peace. And this is when Satan has taken captive of all the people in our neighboring community, in our neighboring territory, people in our community. We should not underestimate the strength of the enemy. Also, Paul is calling believers to pray with every kind of prayer, every kind of prayer and request. That is verses 18c. Here, I'm not presenting, you know, a kind of an ideal prayer or requests that we should be praying for. You know, there are so many instances, there are so many situations that we find ourselves in, and those are the times when we need to pray and pray specifically for those needs. But here I suggest some of the every kind of prayer that we can pray for. For example, and this is actually general when we talk about every kind of prayer. It's general. It's not very specific. It's about prayer that indicates, you know, some things that we need collectively to do when we are praying. And first, it's adoration like in Psalms 148 verse 13. Prayer of thanksgiving also in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 34 to 35. And the prayer of confession in Psalms 32 verse 5. Prayer of vows, 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 to 11. Prayer of quiet reflection, like in Psalms 63 verse 6. You can make those references later. Prayer of healing, like in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 14. And prayer of deliverance, like in Psalms 107 verse 6. Prayer of intercession, like in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 12. Prayer of transformation, like in Psalms 139 verse 23 to 24. And also prayer of blessings, like in Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. These are every kinds of prayers which are more general. But the next phrase where he said, and requests, here, these requests has to be very specific. It is asking God to fulfill particular, specific, various requests. For example, like in Poolsview, we have a list of prayer requests that are given. Those are very specific because they address specific issues that we can be able to pray for. God is the one who is able to guide us. You know, and sometimes we need to pray for his guidance, wisdom that comes from God. These are very specific. Love, peace, happiness, finances, jobs, personal health, salvation for others, family issues, protection of children, people who are hungry and poor, and those who are grieving. These are very specific prayers. They are specific because they happen in our community. They take place in our families. We face them like every day when we wake up, when we are at work, when we are driving, wherever we are. We experience some situations which are very specific, and these are what Paul is saying, requests, with every kind of prayer and requests. In spiritual warfare, we need to know the difference between general and specific combat tactics. Also, Paul is calling the church to do this, to pray with every kind of prayer and request by watching for this purpose. He says, by watching, that is to be alert. For this purpose, that is the reason for watching. And the reason for watching is to pray. That is why Paul is reminding them and telling them, when you pray, pray like this. And then he tells them, pray with every kind of prayer and requests. And then he tells them, you are to pray by watching. You are to pray by watching because this is the purpose of the prayer, to be watchful. Prayer is not actually an obligation. It's not a fulfillment like, how many times a day should I pray? I know sometimes we tend to make prayer an obligation. And, you know, Even though there are instances of times of the day that we can pray, maybe in the morning, lunchtime, or evening, we must be very careful not to make prayer life a form of legalism. By legalism, I mean when if we fail to meet that obligation, we feel guilty. Or making prayer legalistic sometimes may make prayer, you know, lose its biblical meaning. Because prayer is more than a sacrifice. In sacrifice, it's part of the sacrifice, you know, like during the times of the Old Testament when the Israelites were sacrificing, they used to offer certain parts of the sacrifice. And it was like partial, it was not like complete, you know. And some of the remains of the sacrifices were used in other ways. But prayer is like a burnt offering. You know, it's being conscious that there are opportunities that I can be able to engage myself in prayer. There are opportunities, there are instances, there are circumstances that will call me to be in prayer. You know, in the actual battle, military battle, even soldiers don't fight, you know, every day, every minute. You know, it's not, they have to go by plan. They have to go by trying to survey and plan for the battle. You know, because they have to plan for how to defend themselves. Are we strong enough to make a defense? You know, to defend ourselves against the enemy. Are we armed enough? Are we ready to engage the enemy in his field? You know, like getting to the battlefield, into the territory of the enemy. So prayer is like actually, as I was saying, a burnt offering that produces, you know, that pleasant aroma where a believer is wholly consumed by God. Prayer is the means of drawing near to God intimately, uniting a believer with triune God. Prayer is not actually ordinary. Clinton E. Arnold, in his commentary on Ephesians, exegetical commentary, insists that prayer is an extraordinary opportunity to communicate with God and appeal to Him for help on behalf of all believers at all times. So, prayer is not ordinary. Prayer is watching. Jesus called disciples to watch, be alert in the context of his return. Be on guard. You do not know when that time will come, in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. He called them to watch and pray so that they would not fall into temptation, in Mark 14, verse 38. By watching implies continuous expectancy. You know, when we are watching, we are expecting. You know, it's like when the military are in the battle, they watch because they expect the enemy is going to attack any time. We as believers, this is what Paul is calling us, to be watchful, to be expectant, to be expecting that the enemy is attacking. When we are watching, we can be able to identify the enemy. But sometimes when we get into civilian, then it means we are not ready for battle. We are not armed for battle. We are not watching. We are not expecting. And that's why sometimes we turn to be civilians. In spiritual warfare, we should always watch out for the enemy. Be alert and of sober mind, Paul calls believers and tells them. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:18. In the Old Testament, watchmen, actually in the Bible, were guards who are responsible for watching. And they were to sound alarm if they see the enemy approaching. So, they had a responsibility of protecting towns and also their military installation from surprise attack of the enemy. Believers are called to watch in prayer. And Paul here also tells us that we need to watch with all perseverance, and making supplication. With all perseverance, because prayer is labor. Prayer is not easy. Prayer life is not very easy. And here, with all perseverance can be translated with all faithfulness. Paul in Romans chapter 12 verse 12 encourages believers to be faithful in prayer. That's what he meant by perseverance. With all perseverance means constant, faithful pursuit. That is making supplication. And Paul continues to tell them that by doing this, you know, by perseverance, they should make supplication. They should pray for who? For saints. Saints actually points to, it's very collective because it refers to all the believers. It's expansive focus of prayer within a community. A community of believers. And it also points to the corporate nature of spiritual warfare, whereby this is not just a personal prayer, but it's prayer for the believers, all believers. And so, sometimes it's very important, and not just sometimes, it's always, to watch out and see where the enemy is coming from which direction. Sometimes we need to know that as believers, we need to be watchful, because when we are praying for the saints, it means that we have to identify what is happening to the Christian community. Who is the enemy? And what's happening? How is the enemy fighting believers? Actually, the foundation of Christian deployment of the armor of God is prayer. And this can be both individual and corporate, private and corporate. Prayer is the means by which believers can defend themselves, and it's the means by which we can be able to attack the enemy. So when we identify what's happening to Christian community, then we can be able to identify the things that we are ought to pray for. Finally, I'm going to finish with the last part where Paul is talking about himself. Paul is saying, and praying for me. Paul now shifts from prayer for the saints to prayer for himself. Even, you see, Paul has not been asking before that the church should not pray for him. Because Paul knew who he was. Paul was a wounded soldier who had been in many prayer battles. And he knew how to pray for. But he also knew that prayer is not individual. Prayer is not just personal. Prayer is corporate. And prayer can be requested. Not that Paul did not know how to pray, but he needed the unity, the body of Christ, to be involved, because that is what we are called for. Apart from our personal prayer, the church should spend most of the time of prayer in corporate prayer, whereby we are not just praying for our personal needs or our individual needs, but also we are praying for the advancement of the gospel. And here, Paul is not actually asking for his own personal issues. He does not ask, however, that they may pray for his release from prison. He was already in prison and he knew what's coming, but he did not tell the church to pray for him to be released, because Paul could see beyond his personal situation. Paul prayed or asked the church to pray for him, so that whenever, he says, whenever I opened my mouth, I could make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And also, he said, pray that I may declare it. That is the gospel, boldly, as I should speak about it. And then, he says, for which I am an ambassador in chain, of purposely designed to quote that at the end, because that is the last part that I'm going to speak about Paul being an ambassador. So here Paul is asking them to ask God for him for two things. One, when. When means wherever, all times, all every time, wherever he opens his mouth, that a message once should be given to him. Also, he says that he should be able to deliver this message with boldness. That is, in the manner here, in these two things, the ones, the message, and the boldness, he's in the message talking about the manner in which he can be able to use the right ones as revealed to him about the gospel given to him by God to deliver. So Paul is praying or is asking that the believer should pray for him, so that when he is speaking the word of God, he will not speak his own words, but he will speak what God has given him. I think this is what the modern church needs most, especially, I'm certain that ministers of the word of God the pastors, evangelists, and all those who are gifted to speak and teach the word of God, this is what we need to be praying for most. And this is what the church needs to pray for most. That God would always give the right ones and the boldness to declare those right ones. Because much of the content of today's preaching or modern preaching, much of the content is like preaching about myself. You know, preaching about the things that will make me look, you know, unique and somebody who is somewhere higher, you know. But here, Paul, when he is talking about this mystery, he understands this very clearly because he knows the office of the prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the office of the apostles was not just an office that was taken for granted, but it's God who chose these people, set them apart to give them his wants, to give them his message. The message that we have in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he gave them access to his counsel, the mystery, so that they can be able to understand. Of course, the human part, side of view is also included because God had to prepare these people. Because these are the same people like us, the same people with the fallen nature. The same people who are prone to fall, who are prone to temptations. But God chose them, set them apart, gave them access to his divine counsel, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, moved them to speak his word and to write his word. And that is why we always say that the Bible has no error, and it doesn't contain any error, and it cannot error. So here Paul is teaching us that he had a zeal, not his personal zeal. He is asking for prayers for himself. But his zeal was for the salvation of the sinners, so that the glory of God may be witnessed through the gospel. He is calling the church not to consider his present situation. But he's telling the church to pray for him so that he can use his circumstance, he can use his opportunity when he was in prison, that he can be able to witness to the people who are visiting, you know, to the guards, to the tribunal, when he stands before the tribunal. That he can be able to witness to them the mystery of the gospel. I just came to understand clearly when Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel, what he means about that. Because the mystery of the gospel is not just preaching and calling people to be saved, but also for the believers to understand that the gospel is the blessed truth which remained in the secret of God until the opportunity came, the opportune time, the right time, when he said he had sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, when he spoke once to his disciples, he told them, no one knows the Father except the Son. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And to whom the Son wills to reveal to. So, this mystery is the revelation. And this revelation is about one thing. That from both Jews and Gentiles, we can be able to access the salvation of God. We can be able to attain salvation of God. And this salvation is by grace. And we can access this salvation on the basis of equality. And this salvation, which is to be received by faith, is the one which unites Jews and Gentiles into one body, the church of Christ, and Christ being the head of the church. That is the mystery of the gospel. God uniting all humanity, both the Jews and Gentiles, into one body, the church, and Christ being the head of the church. As I finish, let me talk just very little about Paul's imprisonment. Paul was never ashamed because he was in prison. I know sometimes it's always a shame, especially when someone is in prison for a crime. I know it's a shame. But Paul knew that he was okay. He had not committed any crime by preaching the gospel. And he knew that he was in prison because of the gospel. And he is not ashamed. In fact, Paul used a word that is of honor, ambassador. And he says he was an ambassador in chain for the sake of the gospel. So, for him to be in prison, he considered that as an opportunity for him to speak on behalf of God, to bear witness of the mystery of the gospel. And here, actually, he never cared what people would think about, because he knew the truth. And he was conscious that he was an ambassador in chain. This is a paradox. Because, you know, an ambassador is supposed to be living in special quarter, special house, special guns, special allowances, and immunity. But Paul did not think about this. Paul thought about the gospel, that was the opportunity for him. And this is what Paul is asking the church to pray for him about. Today, we understand that as a church, we are in a spiritual battle. And the word of God has spoken clearly that we can only be able to win this battle, spiritual battle, by prayer. We pray for all the saints. We pray in spirit. We pray all the times by perseverance. For this reason, we should watch, be conscious, and we should, more than that, more than praying for the general needs of the saints and the individual needs, we should pray for the gospel, because that is the whole purpose of Christ coming. That's the whole purpose of the calling of the church, to pray for the gospel, so that the gospel can be preached in the right ones, and not only the right ones, but with boldness, fearlessness, courage. And when we do that, we will be able to win many of our spiritual battles that we fight every day. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father. You know and you understand our weaknesses. You understand our failures. You understand our successes. You understand our situations. You understand your church and the needs of the church. You understand our personal needs as believers, as the body of Christ. You understand everything that we need. And you have taught us that after putting on the whole armor that you have provided, that we can advance into the territory of the enemy and fight by prayer, praying for the saints and praying for the ministers of the Word of God, praying for one another. Lord, help us to identify situations that cause for us to pray. And every time we identify these situations, that Lord, we can be able to pray specifically for those needs. And also help us, Lord, to be awake and aware about the importance and the need of the gospel, to pray for those who are ministering the gospel, the pastors, the teachers, evangelists, missionaries, those people who are in the field engaging the devil in spiritual battles. Help us to remember them. Whenever we become conscious of that, help us that very time that we can be able to present those needs before you. We thank you for your word, and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.